Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 5. I got some special guests with me here at the Student Circle. Ladies, if you don't mind, just go around and introduce yourselves.
Okay, my name is Raina. What did I say?
Just what you do at Word of God.
What I do at Word of God, I do drumline, and I also serve for the tech team at the church.
Period. Mm-hmm. Okay, my name's Izzy. What do? Coach Izzy, I guess. I don't really do much. I mean, I'm on worship team, and then I also, serve at church sometimes for Word Kids, and then also I sing for Bossier Youth and then a little bit for Maine. I'm going to start soon. So yeah.
What, you sing in Bossier Youth? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every now and then, yeah.
Hi, my name is Brooklyn. I do track and field, throw shot put, and discus.
Nice. And I got one more special guest with me.
What's up, everybody? This is Coach Jefferson. obviously, I'm a coach. I like to think of myself as a life coach. But I coach football back in the day.
Bring your football back.
No, I coach track and field and basketball.
Nice. All right, ladies. So we are on a little time crunch on this one today. So we might have to break this one up to like maybe part 1, 2, 3 because of the topic. So the topic today is mental health. All right, so mental health. We met on Monday, and when we left out of our meeting, I left y'all with a question, and this is where we're going to start today, and we're going to see where the Lord takes us in this very popular topic with y'all's generation. So the question I left y'all to think about and to ponder and to research, especially in the Bible, was, is mental health issues, mental health, the topic, biblical? So who wants to go first and dive into that?
Me? Oh, okay.
All right, I'll point at you, Izzy. Go ahead.
Well, so me and Raina kind of talked about it a little bit. Well, we all kind of talked about it, and we found some people in the Bible that we saw that actually struggled with mental health. And the main person that I found was Job. And Coach Jefferson actually, I think, did you mention Job too? Or, oh, wait, it might have been.
We talked about a lot of words.
Yeah. But also in AP English, Daniel came and he mentioned Job too. And we just see how in the Bible it talked about how Job was blameless and upright, and he feared God and turned away from evil. And with that, I feel like we see how he lost a lot of stuff, but he still trusted in God even through all the things that he struggled with. So, yeah.
First of all, he didn't just lose a lot of stuff. He lost his family.
Yeah, everything.
He lost his possessions. His wife was nagging him, saying, "Why don't you just curse God and die?"
Yeah.
Like, that's some bad advice right there, especially when someone's going through something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, you think you have a bad day, and then remember Job. Mm-hmm. Job probably had the worst day of anyone that could possibly have a day. I mean, he's sitting there at his house. One guy comes one way, one guy comes the other way, and he's done with those conversations. He turns around, guy comes back and says, "You've lost this, this, and this." But at the end of the day, at the end of that chapter, a lot of people forget the Lord renews everything that he has lost. So that's a good person to bring up. Is there anybody else that you've studied or seen in the Bible that, you know, maybe might express what we say of mental issues? Or mental health?
Well, I put chose Elijah because after he did the miracle of the fire sending down, Jezebel basically
old Jezebel
had a bounty against him, and he was, you know, obviously fearful, and he ran away to the desert and literally asked the Lord to take his life. So.
Ooh, that's a deep one right there. Brooklyn, you got anybody? You didn't pick anybody? Off the top of your head, we're sitting here talking. Off the top of your head, can you think of anybody? Like, there's a big one that I think, not necessarily we're missing, because those are two huge people that expressed these things. But is there like a king that we think about? Really, there's two kings. One in Daniel. And then one through the Psalms. So I'm thinking of King Nebuchadnezzar.
David.
I was gonna say that.
And then King David.
Yeah.
So King Nebuchadnezzar, this man is going through Daniel. It literally says he looks, and his reason is taken from him. And so the Lord makes him, you know, like the ox, and he's eating grass, and his hair, they said his body was wet. It made his hair grow like, I think, the eagle's feathers. So he looked, so on the outside, he turned into a beast. So on the outside, if you're looking at him, you're like, hey, that guy's got some stuff going on. But at the end too, he repents for what has happened, and the Lord brings, he says, the Lord brings his reasoning back, and he is restored as well, just kind of how Job is. So those are some characters, those are some things in the Bible. What, as teenage girls, what are the biggest issues that y'all see and deal with and talks amongst yourselves with mental health?
Well, one that I just struggled with was friendships and how they can cause a mental toll, like on your mindset and how you think and how you even think about yourself. Just really.
So chapel was big for you today then? In chapel today, the whole thing was about friendships. Izzy, what about you?
Oh, I was going to say, like, emotion-wise, I would say anxiety, which is a big thing. And this is a little off topic, but for the talent show, I wrote a poem about body image, but also for an English assignment, I also wrote about anxiety because I feel like that's something that I struggle with, like, every now and then. And a like where I feel like I face it most is whenever we have to lead sometimes on platform, and yeah.
That's good. So you brought up anxiousness, and that's one that I hear a lot through the teens. Even you know, I like to consider myself a young teen. that's not. I'm not a young teen anymore. But even adults, we hear, man, I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. Y'all might not know, so we're gonna talk it out right here.
Okay.
Why do you think people are so anxious now? Because I'm gonna put myself back in y'all's shoes. Growing up, I never heard anyone say, I'm anxious, or I feel like I'm going through something. And that could have been me as a child being naive and not really listening to adults and their conversations and that type of stuff. These conversations could have been going on the whole time and I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. But from what I remember, even in church and stuff, I never really heard anyone talk about being anxious. Do y'all have any thoughts or ideas on that?
I think anxiousness stems to, like, insecurities, like, or worry about what other people think about you, because everyone I think that everyone, like, wants, I think everybody wants to, like, I guess when I,
you all right? Take your time. Take your time. Think about it.
I guess they want to, like, in a word, like, fit in. That they don't want to be, like, an outcast, I guess. Mm. And so they're worried about what they, you know, worried about if I do this, you know, if people are going to make fun of me, or if some people are going to talk about me and things like that. And I think that's what it all stems to.
So I was thinking about something when you were talking. I was thinking about what, I believe it was Paul told Timothy, and he talked about the last days. Paul. So Paul told Timothy, his understudy, he told him that in the last days, because I'm like Coach Cody, I don't remember too much hearing about anxiety, and no, definitely mental health wasn't a thing when I was in school like it is nowadays for the school sect. But Paul told Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. I think that's the either 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, one of those Timothys, 3rd chapter, though. He says, we'll be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And see, we live in a society where there's an explosion of just information. I can see what's supposed to be the end thing. I can see what somebody's supposed to look like. I can see what beautiful looks like. I can see what a handsome person. All of this I get to see through social media. I get to see it through all these different platforms on the internet. In our day, my day, we didn't have all that. So we're ever learning. And when you have just so much information out there, it causes somebody to be anxious. We didn't have to worry about some of those things that you all have to worry about nowadays. So I think that's a part of kind of like wanting to just touch on what you were saying about being in or fitting in. Like I looked around and hey, shoot, this is fitting in right here. You know, the person next to me, but now we're looking on the internet. Okay, this is supposed, I'm supposed to look like this. Okay, I'm supposed to have that. I'm supposed to, this supposed to be right. And you're just anxious because you have all the thoughts and all this information out there to view.
You're just comparing yourself.
I'd also think going with what Coach Terrence was talking about is we rush our seasons because we have that information. We have social media. I mean, like, here we go. Y'all can make fun of me. Let's do this. So I signed up for Facebook as a senior in high school. That's what we had. We had Zanga. Uh-huh. So that was like a personal blog type thing. And then we had MySpace. Okay. See, y'all couldn't live in the world of MySpace. MySpace, we had a top 5 and a top 10 like on your page. And if you made somebody mad or y'all broke up or something, they would refresh that thing right then. And like you would go see it after school on your computer or something. You would look and be like, oh, dang, I got out of the top 5. We ain't friends no more. Or like you'd be trying to get back at your girl, your guy, and you'd replace them and put like all 5 new girls up there. Or all 5 new, oh, it was some petty stuff, but.
That's a roster.
But MySpace, yes, MySpace. And then you kind of knew if somebody was going through some things because they would change their song. Mm-hmm. Like there'd be a song playing. Like if you just got out of a breakup, you might have like this, not slow song, but like a breakup song type thing. Or you had a good season going on. You had a fun upbeat song going on. Hold on. I'm going to get to you, Brooke. Hold on. But like we had Facebook. Like that was it. And it's not even the Facebook that y'all see now. Like we actually wrote on each other's walls and that's what it was called and that type of stuff. But so anyways, the thing I'm getting to is like y'all got TikTok, y'all got Instagram, y'all got Be Real, Snapchat, all of them. And you see other people going through other things that might not even be real. And so you want to be in that situation. So you're trying to rush the season that the Lord has you in, maybe to learn something for your future. But you're like, I don't like this season. So I want to get to that next one. So that might cause our anxiousness or depression or any other type of feeling that we might have. Go ahead, Brooklyn.
To hit on that, like the Facebook thing, people do that now on Instagram because you have like a thing on Instagram where you have notes and you can either post songs or like just say anything.
Is that what that is? It drives me crazy because it's up there on the top left and it'll never go away until so you. That's what notes is.
It doesn't go away after 24 hours. It does go away after 24 hours.
All right. So explain that. Look, we're learning. I'm learning right now. So notes on Instagram, you click on it. And it can be a song or anything.
You can pick a song or you can just say stuff, but people tend to put like kind of what they're feeling on there. And I feel like that's dumb to do because people don't really care or want, like, they just don't want to know your business.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't put that out there because then they'll know you're going through something. Like, not necessarily they could care, but most of the time you're just speaking nonsense on there. And just want people, you want attention.
So that's a great point. So how do you see the difference of someone reaching out in that way of saying, hey, I actually probably need some help and or, hey, I'm doing this just for some clout or I'm doing this just for attention type thing?
Like if you actually know the person and you know their true feelings behind it and what they actually mean. Like if you know that person and they be on some nonsense like all the time and or if they're like actually like sad and they're going through something, you can tell they need help, like if you see them in person or if you just talk to them on a regular basis. And then there's other people that you just know want attention and constantly just ask for it without like being clear, but they give little hints that they want it to be about them.
So how do you follow up with that person? Like, is it cool to send them a DM? Is it cool to just text them right there? Or, because I know y'all don't call each other. Because I don't even like, I don't. If you call me, I'm going to hit. I'm going to be like, oh, I'm going to text you back later. Because you call me, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. You calling me. Coach Terrence calls me all the time. He's about the only, him and my wife are about the only people I answer my phone for. Everybody else just shoot me a text. So what's like the protocol? Like, how do you just guess? For like checking on someone, like you said, if someone's on some nonsense, but they could be on some nonsense, but still kind of throwing a line out there, you just like shoot them a DM real quick, like, hey, you okay? Or you just kind of ignore it.
Not gonna lie, if I like really like know the character of this person, I might just ignore it.
Yeah.
Like, but if I know the person and I talk to them and I'm close with them, I'll be like, what's going on? So
now let's take the social media off of it and let's get face to face. So you're in the hallways with your peers and the kind of how we talked about in chapel today with no context. I mean, just because for the time frame, we're talking about friends and we made the analogy or the example of, you know, Tigger and Eeyore. So you have a friend that's always upbeat, not necessarily energetic, but they're always smiling. Very polite, y'all have good conversation, that type of stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're not like that. Are you chalking that up in your friendship as, hey, this is just a bad day, they didn't sleep well, or are red flags automatically going off and you're going in to check on them?
I would say, for me, I feel like you have to have like discernment a little bit and to be able to tell whenever it's actually something serious and then whenever it might just be, like you said, a bad day. I would say that.
So, what if you see it as a pattern? How do you approach those types of conversations? Because that's a tough conversation with you and your peers to be like, hey, is something going on? Because they might hit you with something you might not know how to handle. Mm. So, how do y'all approach those types of conversations?
Okay, I think the best way to do it is to pray for them and maybe ask the Lord, like, what could you do to like help that person, and he will guide you through that.
I love it. Now, going back to last week's episode, we talked about that. Are you praying for him right there, or are we going to do the nice Southern thing? And the nice Southern thing and be like, oh, come here, girl. I got you. I'm going to pray for you tonight when I get home. And we don't even pray. See, we talked about that last week.
I'm not like y'all.
Okay. Really Southern people. Look, I confess in front of all y'all. I'm like not even 50-50 on that. Because I'll be like, look, I'm going to pray for you. But then I forget.
No, I don't forget. I pray for
them. Okay. So. Holy Spirit quickens your mind and brings them back. Okay, I got you. Coach Terrence, just to bring you up on that, like I was talking about as I was confessing in front of them, it's kind of a pet peeve when someone says, yeah, I'll pray for you, but they don't do it right then. And so I'm trying to get in that habit of like, look, if I say I'm going to pray for you, come on, we're going to do this right now. Even if it's 30 seconds, we're going to try to pray for you right then. Cause I think it's so important that one, it just shows the love for each other that I'm going to, and you're just being unashamed of what we are communicating, what we're trying to do. We don't have to be out loud shouting. Mm-hmm. It could be a nice private conversation type prayer. We kind of go away and we do that. Ladies, like I said, this is probably going to be multiple parts. So it's going to be the end of part one, but I'm going to leave you with what my brother in Christ, Paul, said in Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And the reason I want to read that is to get to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your request be made known to God, and then this is what's going to happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, ladies, I appreciate y'all being open and honest in this, and we look forward to having y'all back, okay?
Yes.